Welcome to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're discussing cost-cutting in the federal government, specifically how agencies can reduce inefficiencies and redundancies in their organizations without significantly impacting their core missions. Congress enacted legislation that requires $1.2 trillion in budget cuts before January of 2012. But where these cuts are made and how they will be implemented is a matter of discussion. Here to offer insights about the government's potential to save dollars through merging, integrating, and consolidating are Robin Lineberger, CEO of Deloitte Federal Government Services and within Deloitte Consulting, LLP. It's a $1.3 billion practice with more than 6,100 employees. Under Robin's leadership, Deloitte Federal Government Services provides consulting, risk advisory, and financial advisory services to every cabinet-level agency in the U.S. government. Hi, Robin.
Good morning.
And John Powers is a managing director at Deloitte Consulting, LLP. He's the current leader of mergers and restructuring in Deloitte's federal practice. For more than 7 years, John has led the planning and execution of consulting services for transactions totaling more than $100 billion in value. His specialties include developing integration strategies, designing global governance programs, and creating validation approaches for services focused on merging and restructuring public and private organizations. Hi, John.
Good morning.
And Joanne Boutel, a partner with Deloitte and Touche LLP, is a former deputy CFO of the U.S. Department of Defense. While at the DOD, she was recognized as a committed leader to reforming business processes. Joanne continues that work at Deloitte, where she helps clients take costs out of their activities through re-engineering processes, integrating and divesting functions, and enhancing business processes with technology. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning, Jane.
Well, this is an August group, so it's a great pleasure to have you all here. So let's talk a little bit about how the federal government is going to approach some of its cost pressures. Robin, I'll start with you. The Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, the so-called Super Committee, failed to meet its objective, meaning automatic sequestration cuts will begin in 2013. So how do you see the U.S. government effectively making those cuts?
Well, there are a couple of approaches that they can take. I think first is, as they begin passing on the dollarized cuts to the various agencies across the board, providing guidance to the organizations of what the priorities are, what they should continue doing, and what they should consider reducing. Secondly is, as the agencies receive their budget numbers, it could be tempting to take this classic peanut butter approach, spreading the cuts evenly across the organization. But I would suggest we take a look at prioritizing the activities, looking for those that are the least value added or the least productive, taking those out, and then using the remaining budget for those higher priorities, more value added activities.
John, you agree?
Absolutely. I think the key to think about here is, as people take a peanut butter approach, which is a simple and easy way to take costs out of anything. It starts with a basic assumption, though. That you start with an assumption that everything is already allocated perfectly. So when you apply that approach, you're assuming I have everything exactly the way I want it. I just need less of everything in the same distribution that I had. That's rarely the case. As facts change, as conditions change, commercial or public sector, you need to go back and reevaluate what your priorities are. As Robin just said, you need to rethink, how would I change what I want to get done given the limitations or constraints that are now upon me? And so I think it's really important to actually look for ways to take the cost out more intelligently, look for ways to find avenues of reduction as we talk about merging, consolidating, integrating. Basically, look for places where there is you can take advantage of a redundant or fragmented operation that doesn't impact the mission. So you really have to look for, where can I take out things that haven't yet been fixed or aren't yet efficient that will not impact the mission? So you do have to reprioritize.
So has this been tried before, Joanne?
Well, in the past, the way the government usually handles these large budget cuts is to do the peanut butter spread, as Robin mentioned. And, the challenge here is to eliminate the inefficiencies and the redundancies in their processes and organizations without impacting the core mission. They want to preserve that. And so it's going to be a challenge this time for them. I think that most of us would agree that it wouldn't be wise to cut major weapon system programs at the risk of not being able to defend our country or our way of life, and instead that Department of Defense and other departments need to look at cutting cost reductions in their business and administrative functions, much like what John has said. So it is going to be a challenge. I do think that they could learn a lot from what we do on the commercial side and use the business cases to develop a strong justification for the decision makers so that they look at both the pros and cons of some of the alternatives that are available to them.
And I would just add, I'm sorry, just to the commercial side. At Deloitte, we've done quite a few restructuring activities, public and private, quite a few mergers. And we've done a lot of work with agencies, UK, Canadian, US as well. And it's almost a universal truth that you find when you look at these operations. We will look at operations and find different levels of performance across the same activity, meaning one is more efficient than the others, especially true when you're looking at a commercial integration, especially large organizations, meaning the finance function in one company happens to be more efficient, happens to have better infrastructure. And when you go to integrate, what we try to do is look for the best of the best is what we would call it. And we'll find internal best practices is a classic way to find efficiency, meaning we don't need to do great grand studies. We can look inside the organization and try to determine which part of the business, the two that are now going to combine, and sometimes it's three, actually is the best performer. And we'll model that as the future operations going forward to try to bring everybody to that standard. And that is a great way to quickly get to what the realm of the possible is when you're looking through not taking out activities that do not affect the mission, but where there is redundancy that's basically inherent in just being different organizations.
But, you know, John, I have seen in DOD when I was there, and I'm sure it's across the rest of the government, that often folks think that they can figure out these changes themselves. And my experience has been that it is hard to look at what you're doing every day and say, well, there's no value in doing this. Maybe we should eliminate my job or a great portion of it. So how do you deal with that on the commercial side when you go in and help those companies?
It's especially hard to take a look at yourself to assume that you can find the quote-unquote best of the best, or even especially if you look at your narrow, I only have this operation. You don't have the advantage of or the perspective of seeing across multiple different types of that same operation. So in the commercial side, it's really important to bring basically three things together. There's usually it's two organizations that have to come together and essentially the objective third party that arbitrates what the realm of the possible is. So that's usually the consultants like us. In most cases, we have to show each of them what the benefits and risks are of taking one of the other approaches to the business. So you have to look at there's efficiency, there's cost, but there's also the way the work gets done. And you have to analyze that to try to find truly what is the best from the most objective standpoint. And that requires a different method of looking at it. And you have to have a certain tools set to do that. And you have to have certain processes to do that, that look at the facts and take the people out of what they're used to doing, what they're seeing every day, and give them an opportunity to see what the future could be.
So what do you think, what do you see as the targets, prime targets, Robin, for this kind of organizational restructure?
Yeah, so I think we should sort of generically break the organizations down into various pieces. So you have the classic back office or administrative activity, and then you have the mission function. And then you have parts of the organization that are developing capability for the mission function, such as IT and those sorts of things. So I think if you look at the administrative areas, there's all the opportunity there for the same types of consolidation synergies, re-looking at some of the approaches that are currently underway around outsourcing, if you will, the shared services concepts. And I think here we really have to talk about some of the theme that ran through the conversation so far is about structural change, is that we can't any longer continue to look within our own organization. Is looking out into the organizations where you may be able to partner or joint venture, if you will, with other organizations to accomplish a similar function rather than just consolidating within your areas. Let Joanne talk a little about the mission side since she's focused on the DOD for so many years.
Well, I agree with what you said. I think we've got to focus on owning less. So whether they're using more cloud computing, whether they're divesting in more real estate, I do think that those are the right things to do. Consolidating back office functions, whether it's the data centers, whether it's human resource functions. I also think there's a big opportunity in eliminating the number of business systems that are out there. Over the, you know, the past 20, 30 years, there's been a lot of systems that have grown up that are very functionally aligned, but not enterprise aligned, and that they could eliminate thousands of systems if they developed strategies for successfully implementing these enterprise processes. In addition to reducing the cost that they spend on systems, it should also produce better financial information to guide them on making better business decisions going forward. So I agree. I think that there's a lot of things. I guess I wonder, again, on the commercial side, when you go into a large, complex company, and you are faced with these different pieces of an organization like we have in the federal government, how would you approach those?
Well, the key is it's a standard model you see in almost every situation, which is we look for the same people doing the same kinds of services for the same kinds of customers in different places using different processes on different infrastructure. That is essentially fragmentation and redundancy. And when you find that, and you will find that when you're looking for integration opportunities, that's a great place to start the process of trying to integrate those operations into single models and put them in single places, as you talked about, potentially use outsourced infrastructure. And the last thing to look for is also classic in the hundreds of these activities that we've done, you'll often find that there's basically too many layers in an organization. The span of control is too small, and people's jobs have been defined inconsistently when they're doing the same work. So again, another standard set of symptoms, as we call them, of places to look when you look across organizations as opposed to when you look within. The key is these you can find when you look across. They don't appear to be there when you look within your organization only.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk more about this and talk about what the costs really mean for actually taking on some of these responsibilities. So stay tuned. Budget cuts and budget challenges are nothing new to the federal government, but now I think a lot more thought is going into how that gets done. So we'll be back with more in just a moment. We're talking this morning to Robin Lineberger, CEO of Federal Government Services at Deloitte Consulting. John Powers, he is the Managing Director of Deloitte LLP and the leader of the mergers, acquisitions, and restructuring practice at Deloitte Consulting, and Joanne Boutel, former Deputy CFO of the U.S. Department of Defense and now a partner at Deloitte & Touche LLP. You're listening to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. I'm Jane Norris.
Federal agencies call on Deloitte for insights, people, and the experience they bring to their most meaningful and challenging problems. Drawing from their broad portfolio of capabilities, global resources, and leading practices across government, their deep federal experience helps their clients achieve more today while building a stronger foundation for tomorrow. Learn more at www.deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.
Welcome back to Fed Central. We're talking this morning about budget cuts and budget challenges that the federal government is facing in 2012 and beyond. Robin Lineberger, CEO of Federal Government Services at Deloitte Consulting. Our guest, John Powers, as well, the leader of mergers, acquisitions, and restructuring at Deloitte Consulting. And Joanne Boutel, a former deputy CFO of the Department of Defense and now a partner at Deloitte & Touche LLP. So here we are, and we're talking about how the government goes through this cost-cutting process, but that costs something. And with all the scrutiny coming from Congress, people will have something to say about how all this gets done. So if you're an agency faced with making significant reductions, what is a cost-effective way to invest in integrations or divestitures? Is there a way to do this, to invest the money, to make the cuts, or is that just a redundancy?
You're asking a very challenging question, Jane. It clearly, the leadership of the organizations is facing a dilemma to some degree, and that facing budget cuts, how do you enact and take advantage or how do you implement the budget cuts by knowing that you need to invest in a way that allows you to continue to carry out the mission? Because they haven't been asked to do less. They've been asked to execute what they're doing with less budget. So the identification of those key areas and the development of a sound business case I think presenting that to management and looking top down at where are we going to get the best bang for the buck. We're going to have to figure out how to carve out temporarily budget to execute these changes, to invest in the technologies or to make the organizational changes necessary to enact the new restructuring. And to have to do that in a sound way, you look at the costs and the benefits and the prioritization of those. And then we have to remember that all $1.2 trillion is not going to happen the first year. It's time phased over, I believe, 9 years. So it'll be programmed out for those years. So you have the opportunity, if you can start the seeding at the beginning, investing in a way that creates the savings, that then you can continue this, if you will, cascading effect to be able to bring those budgets down while you continuously invest in those highest, biggest opportunities through your management analysis.
One of the things to consider, that while it does cost money to take these actions on, our rule of thumb that we find in commercial, and we've seen it work in public sector as well, essentially a dollar invested today in trying to work through this problem, invested once, typically will be able to return a dollar in perpetuity related to that area you're trying to integrate or restructure. And it works that way because you have to spend the money up front, which feels painful, but you get it back in the long term, and you get it back over and over again. The other thing to remember is spending the money on the right kind of investments to get that dollar is critical. You need experience that with people that have been through this problem before. You need access to tools and methods that have been proven to work before, and you'd like to have access to information. Most organizations go through something this significant, this transformational, once in their career. A person will go through it once in their career. A firm like ourselves that does this over and over again, we have people that go through this just as their career. So this is my career. I do these once a year with very large organizations, and I've got to practice very similar with hundreds of people that just do this kind of work. It's critical to bring that kind of experience on a specialized problem like this because your organization will be much better off to take advantage of that to get to the answer faster. They'll get to a better answer, and the answer is going to be will come with less risk, meaning a much higher probability of success in long-term implementation.
So, Joanne, is the Department of Defense amenable or open to this kind of discussion, do you think?
Well, I think that as the budget cuts keep coming, and I think that they've already had with the Budget Control Act, they had some cuts. With this one, there's going to be even greater cuts, that they're going to have to start looking for other ways to identify what they're going to spend less on, just as John and Robin have been talking about. It's a dilemma, and they can't keep doing the peanut butter spread and asking people to take little pieces out of the organization or the processes. They've got to start doing some transformational type of initiatives to really drive the cost down. I think the only way they're going to be able to do this is to bring in contractors with the skill sets to assist the government in developing well thought out business cases. So I do think that we're going to see more of that across the government if they are to be successful.
Yeah, it's something that they both have alluded to here, and it's that we probably all as managers have put together that beautiful business case, gone and tried to take it and get it implemented. The real key here is to capture those benefits and to ensure that when you move into implementation, that there's solid control structures, measurements, and that you actually capture the benefits. Because if we start out at the front of this journey not being able to capture the benefits, then you starve the downstream activity that you've spent your investment money, you're not reaping the benefits, and so hence you haven't created the wedge that allows you to continue to invest and redeploy dollars for future savings. So it's key that through the implementation phase, we actually can capture those benefits.
So actually, Robin, you bring up then the very next question that, again, in the government that I've often seen folks struggle with is, so you have a great business case and you've thought it out, you've looked at all the pros and cons, and you've identified the benefits and what you're going to save. Now you have to execute. And often what happens is that in the government is it gets delegated down from once the decision maker makes that decision, and then the results do not turn out to be what the business case had actually laid out because things start being compromised. So, I know you've dealt with, Robin, a lot of these types of acquisitions and implementations as well as John. What do you two see as the key in driving this and making it successful?
A couple of the keys. One, top down. I think you mentioned that. The next is carving out. It needs to be somebody's job. It's not as though when you push this down that it's going to be picked up by someone and run. The specific assignment to a capable manager who's accountable for achieving those outcomes so that it doesn't drift and that it goes from start to finish.
And John, what's the process? What would be the best process to implement this?
The best process is essentially to lay out this. We use a three-stage, we call it initiate, plan, and execute. And initiate, you essentially drive out the assessment of what is possible based on the available combinations, integrations that you look at across the organization. And then ultimately, you'll test that against and create a business case. How much does it cost to achieve each of those? And you'll put together a portfolio of options. From there, you build belief. And I think that's a key thing that we need to mention here. You have to build belief into the people, into the organization, that they can hit that end state. And that belief comes with a very clear plan, steps laid out very clearly with transparency as to who's accountable for what. And lastly, you got to put, we would then, once you go to execution, put skin in the game. I say skin in the game, meaning make people not only believe, but also be invested in the successful outcome from top, all the way from the top to the bottom. Sometimes you can do that with, it could be where the end state is going to take the organization related to their mission, meaning capabilities achieved, capabilities enabled through this. Sometimes in the commercial sector, we do it through compensation. And oftentimes in the commercial sector, and I've done it with the public sector as well, as we'll have our success or the success of the organization is our success, meaning we go at risk. We call it value-based billing. But it's important. If you are confident in your ability and your processes and your tools to get to the end state, it's much easier to show the organization and the people that you're willing to take that journey with them and take the risk with them because you believe just like they need to believe.
Mm-hmm. And so if there is, a leadership change or, you know, as with any federal government agency, there will be change. So how does that all impact this?
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, Secretary Panetta is in DOD right now, and as well as secretaries across other organizations, but those may change next year, right? And it's going to be important that the culture changes and that some of these processes are put in and a part of what people are doing. So you have business cases, you have top-down leadership movement, then you get things happening and there becomes this snowball effect and it keeps rolling. But it has to be managed at the very top levels.
I think it's a very good point, is as you begin making the business cases around which areas you're going to attack, assigning the management, we know that there is sort of this, let's call it the career workforce, right? We have the senior executive service, those that aren't as transactional, if you will, moving around the administrations, that sort of thing. So being proactive about who you have take those on so that you provide some level of sustainability into the process so that you can see it start to finish will be very helpful at executing across administration changes.
Okay. So what ideally should be in place for an effective transformation? Joanne, you want to take that?
Well, I think we've gone through a lot of things. There's got to be a strong business case. There's got to be top-level management involvement that drives the execution. I think there has to be some metrics, performance metrics, so that you know if you're heading in the right direction. If not, tweak your plan, stay focused, and put together a communication plan, because I think, you know, Robin made a good point. I mean, there's going to be other folks that are going to be impacted and surviving changes in administration. And communication cannot be overutilized. So communicate down through the organization so people know the value of the change.
The only thing I would add is I think you have to have a vision on where you're going to take the organization so that people believe in the end state. And I think you have to build change in through the process. And lastly, you have to build that change through short-term victories, meaning you can't wait for all the benefit to be found at the end of this process. You have to show people that there are interim milestones and achievements that build their confidence and also start to build their belief in the total program.
And Robin?
I think the one thing we have to consider throughout this, at the end of the day, this is a lot about people. People that work in the government, people that support the government. And as you go through that, they've talked about this idea of change management. And so we have to consider the human capital and the involvement along the way, particularly new roles, responsibilities, how we transition from one job to the next, those sorts of things, so that at the end of this, people are well-positioned, they're well-trained to be able to execute what their perhaps their new roles and responsibilities will be.
And that is a challenge that the federal government will be facing. We thank you all for joining us today to talk a little about this interesting show. Make sure you check it out at federalnewsradio.com. And you've been listening to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. Our guest, Robin Leinberger, CEO of Federal Government Services at Deloitte Consulting, LLP. John Powers, Managing Director, Deloitte, LLP. And he is the leader of the Mergers, Acquisitions, and Restructuring Practice at Deloitte Consulting. And Joanne Boutel, former Deputy CFO of the U.S. Department of Defense and now a partner at Deloitte & Touche LLP. Thanks so much for joining us for Fed Central. Please join us again. This is Jane Norris on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This has been Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, with Jane Norris, your host. Make sure to tune in again in 2 weeks for another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and on federalnewsradio.com/FedCentral.
Federal agencies call on Deloitte for insights, people, and the experience they bring to their most meaningful and challenging problems. Drawing from their broad portfolio of capabilities, global resources, and leading practices across government, their deep federal experience helps their clients achieve more today while building a stronger foundation for tomorrow. Learn more at www.deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.